You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108. It's January, you're a man, you've come down with a bad dose of the flu. But instead of sympathy, all you get is a roll of the eyes and that dismissive, it's just man flu. But have we men been suffering unappreciated and dismissed and ignored? Well, a neuroscientist at Durham University has suggested that men could in fact suffer from more severe flu symptoms than women. And she's on the line. Her name is Dr. Amanda Ellison, and she's on the line. Good evening to you, Amanda.
Good evening, Fionn. How are you?
Oh, it's good news for me, I tell you. Explain to me, you know, all joking aside, how can a man get a different kind of a flu to a woman?
Well, they probably get the same kind of flu if we're just talking about the bug that they get. It would be the same bug that a woman would get. But there are many differences between the male and the female brain, and they do underlie our behaviour. And this is something that I've been thinking about recently. And one of the areas of the brain that is different is an area called the preoptic nucleus. And it's an area of your hypothalamus, and it gets involved in lots and lots of different things in your behaviour. It gets involved in sexual activity, but it also gets involved in temperature regulation. And it's bigger in men than it is in women. So I threw out the idea that perhaps this is the reason why men feel worse when they're fighting off a cold, because one of the things that happens when you're fighting off a cold is that your temperature goes up. And this preoptic nucleus is the part of your brain that actually facilitates this. So your temperature goes up to fight off the bugs. And if you have more of your brain that's devoted to regulating your temperature, then it might be reasonable to assume, or at least make the assumption, that maybe this underlies why men feel like they feel worse than women do.
You're a neuroscientist. I can't argue with that. In fact, I don't want to argue with that. What I want is all our female listeners to go, oh my God, I've been wrong. I've been misguided.
Female listeners have a fence to sit on, actually, because equally we could make the argument that because this area is bigger in men, they should be able to cope better.
No. You said it yourself. No, the temperature goes up and all kinds of crazy stuff happens.
So we need to do the studies. We need to do the studies to see if actually any of this holds up in any kind of scientific court. But when we are just looking at the differences between male and female brains, it certainly does lead to some interesting conclusions and maybe just some ideas that could be tested.
On a slightly more serious note, and I mean slightly, the idea that women have a greater tolerance for sufferance, you know, so like, for example, they will endure the discomfort of a flu or flu-like symptoms far more readily than a man will. That a man at the first hint of, he's like, all of a sudden he's like, oh, here, I can't do anything. I'm getting into bed. Is there any truth in that at all?
There isn't very much scientific evidence for it. There's a couple of things that have been looked at, that the incidence of men reporting illness has been looked at. And there's a slight difference there in that men will only report illness if they feel really, really bad. And so, of course, then your sample skewed to just people who feel worse. There's also a look at whether men get more infected than women, and it turns out, no, that there's very negligible difference there. A lot of what we're talking about is how we actually cope under these kinds of pressures. We all have different immune systems, and we all react to different insults differently. But we also have a measure of control, and that measure of control lives in our frontal lobe. And some of us will throw our hands up and say, I can't cope.
Yeah.
And some of us will soldier on. And that's what our frontal lobe does. It rationalizes pain. It rationalizes everything that's around us so that we can make the appropriate decisions. This is how women get through childbirth.
Yeah. Now, you have a book called Getting Your Head Around the Brain. An interesting note, and I suppose it's timely given that Valentine's Day is coming up and we associate love with the heart. Uh-huh. You're saying absolutely nothing to do with it at all.
Tosh and nonsense, rubbish. It gets my goat.
Go on.
It drives me nuts.
Why?
Because there are people making millions out of these Valentine's Day cards with big, flashy hearts on the front. And it's rubbish. Your emotions can affect your heart. Obviously, your heart rate goes up. You know, your heart races if you're in love and you see your loved one. Brilliant. But that is not the area of your body that is actually creating these emotions.
It's Where is it?
Your limbic system.
Which is in your brain?
It's in your brain, and it's in a bunch of structures that are associated into a system, and it's called your limbic system. And do you ever see any Valentine's Day cards with lovely looking limbic systems
no.
on?
No.
No. No. Shame, I tell you.
But what about chocolate? Surely chocolate has to be a good idea.
Well, chocolate is an excellent idea. I really subscribe to this, not just to Valentine's Day, but all the time. Chocolate has a precursor, so it actually breaks down in our brain into the happy hormone. It's called serotonin. Now, serotonin, a lack of serotonin, is linked to depression. We all know this because a lot of the drugs that we take as antidepressants act on the serotonin system to boost the amount of serotonin in our brains. And so chocolate actually does have the power to make us feel happier.
Yeah, okay. So chocolate's a good idea, but definitely. I suppose the association of love with the heart is a complete misnomer and a misdirection and just...
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all in the brain.
All in the brain.
And any other kind of standout differences between a man's brain and a woman's brain?
Well,
and I'm not fishing for what a lot of men might go, men's brain are bigger.
Well, men's brains are marginally bigger, marginally. But when you take that difference into account... And that's mainly because men are bigger than women are. But once you take that difference into account, there are differences with respect to, you know, men's spatial reasoning and things like that. They tend to be better at doing things like that, and that's an evolutionary thing because they used to go off and roam large distances to go hunt and gather and what have you. And there are differences in the brain that support that argument. But equally, in women, there's much more of the brain devoted to language and social communication, and the evolutionary argument for that is that they were left back at the camp doing everything else and maybe having a bit of a natter, and that's why we've evolved those differences.
Very interesting stuff indeed. Dr. Amanda Ellison of Durham University, thank you very much for talking to us this evening. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.